May I speak in the name of God,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. Well, I'm getting a bit excited at the moment because I'm a big fan of the TV series The Apprentice, and it's about to return. Now, in case you don't know, The Apprentice is a BBC television programme where would-be entrepreneurs compete with each other for an investment in their company by Sir Alan Sugar. And what appeals to the viewer, and indeed to me I suppose, is the personality of the candidates. They are deliberately chosen, I suppose, to conflict with one another. Characters are put together who will obviously argue and bicker for our entertainment. It's probably not something I really should enjoy, but there is a perverse pleasure to be had when Sir Alan tells someone, "You're fired." In reality, of course, being fired can turn our lives upside down and is a cause of worry and pain for many people and their families. In today's gospel reading, we hear about a manager who has been dismissed because he is dishonest. Now, we don't quite know why he has been dismissed, but there are some hints that he deserves his master's wrath to some extent. And this parable, this story, is probably one of the most difficult parables in Luke's gospel. And it's hard to fully grasp exactly what Jesus was trying to say. I suppose its overall point is clear enough. Be generous and responsible with your resources. But how it makes its point is much discussed by theologians and churchgoers alike. The manager is fired, not by Sir Alan, obviously, but before he leaves, again, not in a black taxi cab, he negotiates with the debtors of the owner to sign new contracts so that they owe the owner less than they really do. And of course, the debtors are delighted, and the manager hopes that these debtors will then be obliged to him, so that when he is jobless, they'll help him out. So the shrewd manager uses his wits to figure out a way to manipulate his master's money, as so to secure his future. Well, that's, I think, the gist of the parable, if I understood it correctly. We don't really know how the story ends and what happens after this encounter and after the manager is fired. We just know that the way the manager found out how clever this person was, he said something like, "Well, that's clever, that's shrewd." Something I think Sir Alan would definitely approve of. So is God like Sir Alan? Does he want us to be shrewd and manipulative? Well, no, of course not. Jesus' point is simply to show us what money is really for. Typically, we think of ourselves first when we answer that question. But Jesus invites us to realise that, first, our money is not really ours. We are simply managing it for its real owner, that is God. Secondly, even hard cash, or what's often known as filthy lucre, can be pressed into the service of God for good and for our neighbour. When it is, the benefits will last beyond this life, which of course the material things that we buy for ourselves don't. When we buy something, its pleasure is fleeting, and so often it's never really as good as advertised. However, in Jesus' example, money can be used to spread the gospel through which the Holy Spirit will gather believers into Christ's church. We will enjoy a blessed fellowship with these believers forever, long after the money and our material things have gone. This is why we are encouraged to give in our church. We should give something to the work of the church in line with what we can afford. It is our gift to God. Our money is not to be used in a material sense, but rather as service in the kingdom of God. Many people choose to leave money to the church after they die, and this is called a legacy for good reason. Because this money that we have and give here on earth can be then used to spread the gospel long after we have gone. And after we've left this earth, our gifts can still be used to reach out to those who need to hear about Jesus and the hope we have in his death and resurrection. It's a kind of wise investment in God's work here on earth. So Paul, writing to Timothy, that Pam read earlier, reminds us that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving should be made for everyone. This letter concerns the need to pray for all people, for the church, and also to invest in Christ as he mediates in the world. So Paul, a little bit later, mentions the role of women in the church, and I'm glad Pam stopped when she did, because otherwise I'd have a tricky one to discuss. I don't want to dwell on that too much, but I do want to remind you of it if that is a stumbling block for you, that Paul was writing at the time for a specific people, and he was making a specific point. Paul was speaking to a people at a certain time. And I wonder today, what is Paul saying to us here today? As we approach the season of harvest, we will give thanks for all the good things that God has given us. As we said, next Sunday we're going to have a wonderful service at 11 o'clock, Holy Communion and Harvest, and later we will meet together and share a barbecue lunch together. It's going to be a good and happy time. The purpose, I believe, of today's gospel is to show us that good can always come if we give our gifts back to God. God has given us his all. He gave us his Son, Christ Jesus, himself human and yet also God, to die for us on the cross and give himself as a ransom for all. It is a cost, a price that we can never pay back. But I wonder, today, what will you give back to God?